Here we are then in the Eurovision Village in Turin, and what are we doing?
We're watching the first semi-final, Martin. I can't believe it. We're here, finally.
We are finally here, nul pois, at a Eurovision, in Turin. And in this episode, loads and loads of analysis. We're going to watch this semi-final, and then we're going to give you our thoughts right here on nul pois.
Nul pois is shameful.
Nul pois is lack of respect for Euros.
It's the ultimate humiliation.
The shame that they must be feeling.
Nul pois is no fun.
So, there you go. We've just watched semi-final one of Eurovision 2022 in Eurovision Village in Turin. Martin, your thoughts on the results there?
Well, I'm a little sad that Latvia didn't get through, because
Should we just run through who did get through?
Yeah, so go on, go. You got the list
Switzerland,
here.
Switzerland, Armenia, Iceland, Lithuania, Portugal, Norway, Greece, Ukraine, Moldova, and the Netherlands.
Now, I'm happy about a few of those. Were there any surprises for you?
Now, I'll be honest, I wasn't surprised that Latvia didn't get through. I thought Norway was going to... We are walking, by the way, from the Eurovision Village now, so you'll probably be able to hear everybody milling around us. But I wasn't surprised that Latvia didn't get through, because I just thought Norway and Moldova was going to cancel them out. I was a bit surprised that Moldova did get through.
Yeah, and we should talk about the reaction that people had in the Eurovision Village. Thousands of people were there, absolutely thousands, all watching the many different TV screens that were put up, the big screens that were around. Thousands of people there. I was, you weren't so surprised at the Netherlands, but no. I was really surprised at both the Netherlands and Moldova. People went crazy for Moldova.
They really loved it. And I think part of it is just that it's a crowd. They've had a bit to drink. Everyone loves a party song, and Moldova definitely gave that party. But I think part of it was as well that people seem to already know the song. So that was interesting. Same with the Netherlands. That didn't surprise me as much, because it was, it's done really well on TikTok. S10 is a really good musician and a rising star, I would say. Surprise how many people loved Moldova. Few people love Latvia.
Yeah, that's a shame. I mean, we talked a little bit about the fact that Norway and Latvia, both the silly songs, were both in the same semi-final. I don't think that probably did them many favours. But let's pause for now as we just continuing to make our way through the crowds here to get back to the metro station. Let's hear some of the people that we've been talking to immediately after that final ended.
It was quite predictable, actually. It was nothing surprising, but I really love Norway this year, so I was quite happy to see that result. But yeah, it was all predictable. I wasn't much surprised about that.
Okay, so you like Norway. Who else did you like?
Tonight.
Greece.
Greece was Greece. Great. Armenia also.
Iceland.
Yeah, Iceland. And Iceland.
Norway!
We've said Norway. That's good.
It was quite good, because we hadn't really seen
Netherlands.
Yeah.
Is there anyone who didn't get through, who you wanted to get through?
Yeah. Austria. Yeah. We really like it.
We like it because it was the song most animated. No, animated in that moment, because all the songs were so sad. So yeah. This was so a bit fun. Yeah, that's why we like Spain.
Yeah, Spain's good.
We're rooting for Spain.
Ah, okay. Yeah. So is that who do you want to win the most out of everybody?
Spain.
I want to Argentina to win.
Argentina.
I've got some news for you. It's some bad news. Sorry about that. And are you all Italian?
No.
You're Spanish. And you're from Argentina. Oh right, you're all Spanish. Well, what do you think of Italy putting on the contest?
The perfect location, because here is where we are doing the Erasmus, so it's the perfect location.
No, and I think they've settled everything up quite good, actually. Yeah. All this in the Parco Valentino, it's what this park is called. It's like, all of this is very well prepared. not so much these stakes. There has been a lot of criticism, but I've seen tonight the first semi-final. It has been quite good. I've enjoyed it. So,
brilliant.
Yeah.
Are you going to watch the second semi-final and the final?
Yeah, yes, obviously.
But we are going to watch everything here.
We have to ask, what do you think of the UK? Do you think, okay, all right?
Actually, I don't know the song.
Yeah,
we haven't seen them
yet.
Because
we are
waiting for the final to watch them. So,
and then,
Where are you from?
From France.
From France. And what did you think of the semi-final tonight?
It was quite a great show, but I must admit I was a bit disappointed with the results. Some of the countries I wanted to see in the final weren't allowed to go there.
Like who?
Like Latvia. It was a funny song. The public didn't vote for it. Well, it's part of the game.
And what do you think of France's song? Do you like it?
The French song?
Yeah.
I love it. Because the French songs usually are very very cliché.
Yes.
It's Edith Piaf, it's Tour Eiffel. Well. And now we are showing to Europe the regional part of France, which is very important for us French people. So I'm very, very happy to have a song like this representing France this year.
And is this the first time you've travelled for Eurovision?
Yes.
And why? Why did you decide to do it?
Well, it's quite a funny story. About 10 years ago, we watched for the first time Eurovision with some friends, just to see what it was. And we kind of loved it year after year. And we plan to go to see Eurovision in 2020. So we thought, okay, let's go to Eurovision when it's possible. So
amazing.
Here it is. So we have two friends by now, but some other friends come on Saturday.
Great.
So
that's like the same as us.
Hi, I'm Lara. I'm from Belgium.
You're from Belgium, but you don't have the Belgian flag around you.
No.
We're going to walk.
I've got the Latvian flag around me right now.
And that means you're a big fan of Latvia. So how are you feeling right now? Because Latvia didn't get through.
Not great. I'm at my lowest right now. Aww. But it's okay.
What did you like about Latvia so much?
Just like their energy. They're really cool guys. Like, they put in so much work. It's like a great song with a great message. Like, it's kind of like fun, but also like really meaningful. So, yeah.
And why do you think they didn't get through?
Because Europe is scared of pussy.
Right, yeah.
The pussy was too powerful.
Yeah, a few thoughts there from people. It was interesting, a real mix of nationalities in the crowd.
Yes. We couldn't find a single Italian. It was great to, you know, it was brilliant to see so many people like us have travelled here to watch it yet again. I think many people like us quite surprised at the results, which, I mean, maybe it goes to show the final's also going to be full of surprises. Who knows? Should we talk a little bit about the Eurovision Village itself and kind of what was going on?
Yeah, so we're just walking through it now. We had quite the queue. We arrived quite late, which was maybe a little bit of our fault, but we did. We arrived a little bit too late, but we were soon through. We joined a very long queue, which we thought would be in for ages, but it moved pretty quick and we got through. We're just walking now past all of these sort of merchandise tents and the different sponsors and things who've all got their own stalls here on the way in. Quite a walk to a then large park, and differently to previous years, rather than putting the Eurovision big screen just on one screen, so everyone's looking at one screen. There was maybe three or four screens dotted around the park, and you could pick one to go and watch.
Yes, indeed. Now, one of the issues we did find with this approach was that one of the screens, half of it stopped working just as we arrived, so we then had to go to another screen. I think it's an interesting approach to have several screens in one place, and maybe they did it just in case one of them pops, which they did. I would say the crowd control wasn't the best. It was pretty busy, and there didn't seem to be many food points. It all seemed a little bit crazy, but I mean, maybe what we've come to expect from this year's Eurovision, I'll be honest.
Yeah, just a little bit. Let's talk about some of the big moments then, aside from the problems. Let's talk about the big moments from the actual Eurovision, which was what we were there to watch. What do you think really captured the crowd's imagination and really got people going tonight?
Well, I think aside from Moldova, Norway, I really think what was a special moment was Diodato singing Fire Amare.
And remind me, who's Diodato?
Well, he was going to be Italy's Eurovision act for 2020. Of course, that never happened because of the pandemic. Then he didn't go into Sanremo again, so instead Måneskin did, and then obviously won. So this was his first chance really to perform that song, which became a bit of a lockdown anthem as well, on the Eurovision stage.
The Italians were loving it, as you might imagine. They knew every word, they were belting it out. It almost felt, because Italians have been under, much like a lot of Europe, but particularly here in Italy, been on some of the strictest lockdowns in all of Europe. The restrictions are only just starting to ease. I mean, we're still having to wear masks pretty much everywhere we go that isn't outside. And this is almost like them saying, okay, we're back now. Things are starting to open again. And you could really, I think, feel that in the crowd.
Yeah, definitely. It was a very powerful moment. Let's hear a little bit of it now. This is them singing it in the crowd.
Yeah, what a moment that was, really was. We're just now actually managing to come out of the Eurovision Village. We've managed to sort of fight through the crowds, and we're just going past the lines of police here as we make our way back to the tube station. And that's, I think, almost where we'll leave this episode of Nul Poir. Hope you've enjoyed this bit of a look through, really, some of our thoughts and our immediate reaction. Thank you, though, for all of the messages that have been coming through. We've had so more than we've ever had messages come through on social media from people. Thank you so much. Cress has been looking through some of what you've been saying.
Yes, now we'll go through more of these as we go, but thank you very much to Frederick Erlandson, who gave us his ranking, his top five for this year's competition. In at number five was Cornelia Jacobs, Sweden. Four was Germany, Malik Harris. Three was Estonia, Stefan. Number two was Mia Dismic with Guilty Pleasure Croatia. That didn't get through, unfortunately. And number one was Brooke from Ireland. I'd really love to see Ireland qualify this year. I'm not sure if it's going to happen, Frederick.
Yes, thank you very much for those. And do keep those emails coming in. nulpoirpodcast@gmail.com.
And don't forget also, we're on Instagram, nulpoirpodcast on Instagram. We are also on Twitter at poirnul, P-O-I-N-T-S-N-U. Do check us out there, because we're going to be posting lots from our adventures here in Turin.
And we're having a very nice time, aren't we? We had a bit of a stressful get here, it has to be said. We were really cutting it quite far, finally down to the wire, but we are here now, and all is well, I think. We hope.
What a great way to end the episode.
Absolutely. Right, next time we're going to be back tomorrow with another episode, bringing you a little bit more analysis of some of what's going on, and hopefully chatting with a few people as well, catching up with people in person that we've met here on the podcast. So all of that coming your way tomorrow here on Nul Poir. That is it from us here in Turin at very late at night, and speak to you next time on the next episode of Nul Poir.